Their Bible's Acts chapter 16 tonight, Acts chapter number 16. And I've wrestled a couple different ways to go within this message, but not Acts 16, 1 Corinthians 16. Wouldn't be the first time that I've wrote down something wrong. But 1 Corinthians 16, we'll start with verse number 4 and go through verse number 9. One thing I admire about the Apostle Paul was that he got to a place, he was able to make decisions and stick with those decisions. He really was. He was able to do that. He was decisive. I think one of the things lacking today is sometimes there's evidence before us. Sometimes there's things there and we hem-haul around and we need to make a decision. And I think one of the reasons that we fear just making a clear-cut decision sometimes is because we're afraid we're going to mess up. Right? We're going to mess up and then I'm stuck with it. Let me tell you, Paul, one thing he learned was he could make a decision, but he saw the hand of God working in another direction, he would just alter his course. And that didn't mean that Paul had lied or Paul was a failure. That meant that he was going to follow the hand of God. And how many times our own kids, we told them we're going to do something, then we change our mind. Guess what? We have that prerogative because we're parents, we see a better course. Listen, I want to say to you, when it comes to serving God, we need to be able to follow God. And sometimes we do the best we can. I believe it's being a good steward, trying to manage and prepare and to plan. But I got news for you. God's sovereignty is something you don't plan and you don't prepare. God's the one in charge of this thing. And so we must follow Him. And Paul was able to do that. And you'll find in his reasoning, and I think that's the reason, that basically he says, if it be the Lord's will, he says it in different terms, but he uses that often here. The Bible says in verse number 4, and if it be meet that I shall go also. Notice, if it be meet, if it's possible, he said, then shall go with me. They shall go with me. Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia, and it may be that, now notice that, he didn't say definitely, it may be that, here's what my plans are, I will abide, yea, in winter with you, that you may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while. Now notice he didn't say I'm going to tarry, I said I trust. If it be the Lord's will, I'm going to tarry a while. He said, with you, if the Lord what permit, the Lord permits this is what I plan on doing. But notice what he does say. He sees something here. He has plans for the future, but he says, but I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. When I get to Ephesus, I plan on tarrying there at Pentecost. He says, why? For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Notice that. He had plans, but he also was willing to see opportunities. And to him, opportunities were God's directing of his life and God opening doors. And so what comes first was not Paul's plans, but God's providence in his life. And so should it be with us. Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God, and we thank you for the opportunity to stand and to preach tonight. And I pray that you would help this message be a help to everyone here. God, may we trust you even more. We thank you for your great love for us. We ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. We see here several things that I want to point out to you. You know, the Bible instructs us as God's people. I believe we ought to be diligent. I believe we ought to be diligent in our own life to plan and prepare financially. We need to do that. And obviously, we need to plan and prepare for the future. Listen, spirituality just doesn't happen. It is something we've got to work at. We've got to seek God. Many live with the mentality that life is either going to happen to me. And then there's some that live with the mentality, I'm going to make life happen for me. And there's probably a balance within that when you follow God. Some people believe that they make their opportunities. Some believe they simply wait for their opportunities. Here's what I see with the Apostle Paul. He was making plans and preparations because he wanted to see, create opportunities to preach the gospel and win others to Christ. But he also, at times, seen how God created opportunities for his own life by opening doors, and Paul decided that he would go through those doors. You'll find in verses, Second Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, Paul was, he made plans. But guess what? God changed those plans. And what he says here in this chapter, and verses 15 through 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, and he said, "And in this confidence I was minded to come unto you before, that you might have a second benefit." He tells them that. "I wanted to come again and to pass by you into Macedonia, to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness or the things that I purpose? Do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay." Here's all Paul's saying. Listen, I was trying to be decisive. I was trying to make a decision according to the flesh, but God, He altered my plans. Let me tell you, God has got the prerogative anytime He wants to, my life, your life, anybody's life, to alter our plans. Amen. We may not plan for it, but hey, listen, we can't. He's the one that's in charge. And so, I many times in my life, guess what? God's changed my plans. I thought I'd have things scheduled out. God changed those things in my life. There's been times that I've made promises I couldn't keep. It wasn't that I was intending to lie to anybody. I don't feel like I was a liar. But there was obligations I could not fulfill. And let me just tell you something. Many people fear making decisions. Why? Because they feel as though their decisions will never come to fruition, or they fear making the wrong decision. That's not what God's instructing us to do, by no means right here. But He does want us to obey His will. We made plans back in the fall to go to Missouri on a mission trip, take our young people, middle school and high school. We wanted to go. I mean, we had a date set. We had a bunch of people wanting to go. We had plans. We thought all these things we're going to do. Got them worked out. But you know what? We couldn't find any place that was an hour and 20 to 30 minutes away. And then it got to be where we're going to have some here, an hour and 20 minutes away, some here, 20 minutes away from there. And it just seemed like things kept getting more difficult. And finally, I called Brother Kevin and said, "Brother Kevin, we've tried. You've tried. I've tried. I don't think God's in this thing." And you know what you do? You shut the door on that. Because what I learned in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8, guess what? He's the one that opens doors that no man can close. And when He closes them, no man can open them. Amen. And what I find sometimes in ministry and even the work of the church, and even on people's own personal life, and even come to evangelism, we can try to kick in the door if we want to. But God is the one that opens ministry opportunities up for a church. He opens up things that we can do. He's the one that shows us the way. And if we start trying to kick doors, we may be missing the doors that God's opened up somewhere else. You see, I've got news for you. I'd rather have God open the doors than Grant Hardwick open the doors. And so we see right here that He says, "For a great door, effectual, is open unto me." Paul didn't say, "I'd open up this door." It's opened. I see it. Why? Because he had the ability to see through the spiritual lens of God. Opportunity is a set of circumstances that make something possible. That's what the definition of opportunity is. And let me say to you, when Paul says in verse number 9, "A great door effectual is open unto me," he saw an opportunity in his life that made ministry possible in the city of Ephesus. You see, what's a door? Just something that hangs on a couple hinges. It opens one way, maybe it closes another way. You get different kinds of doors. You get sliding doors, revolving doors. Yeah, I mean, you can get automatic doors, you can get doors on cars, but a door basically is there as a barrier to an entrance into something. It is an entrance way, but also can be closed for protection or closed to keep something out. And so what does a closed door speak of? We say that door was closed for me. You know what we're saying, Brother Steve, is, listen, there's a barrier there. That basically, that door stands closed is saying no entrance, stay out, right? Stay out. That's what it's saying. And so it means that, guess what? If somebody slams the door in my face, I guess that means I'm not invited. How'd you know you wasn't invited? Well, they slammed the door in my face and turned the dogs loose, okay? I wasn't invited. I mean, pretty clear. But if somebody opens the door, what's that mean? Welcome. It means come on in. And Paul sees that this door is opening is an invitation. And I want you to understand, everyone that came into this building tonight come through a door. What if we'd locked the doors? Nobody would have got in. That's pretty simple, is it not? I want you to understand, God is the one that opens doors and no man can close. When God opens the door, He's saying to the church and to our own lives, here's an opportunity. Have you ever been around somebody and you waited for that one opportunity to talk to them, and suddenly God flings the door open and everything turns towards spiritual conversation, and you're finally able to witness, and maybe you tried to witness, and you tried to talk to them, and you tried to reason with them, and guess what? The door was closed. But when that door opens, I guarantee you this, there's going to be a difference in their attitude, in the way they listen to you, in the way they respond to you. You see, a door is a metaphor for an opportunity. A door is an invitation that speaks of an effectual opportunity. Now, let me just say this. We get emails and stuff all the time. Here's your chance of a lifetime. You ever got one like that? Something mail. Man, this is your one opportunity. Here's for your dream vacation. Here's a chance of a lifetime. Be your own boss. I wondered if that was just an advertisement for a divorce attorney if you want to be your own boss. But anyway, maybe a bad joke. I think Brother Joseph got it. Anyway, be your own boss. And so, listen, some of you may see he's single still. Yeah, that's why he's courageous enough to laugh. And the rest of you are not. But anyway, be your own boss. Listen, I want you to understand, who doesn't like a good opportunity? I mean, we was talking today, and Brother Roger, when we was over at Karen's, they were talking about selling water filters or something. They're talking about him and Paul got into it, and they about worked them to death. And Paul told him, I guess it was one of the most discouraging things he ever did, went around and tried to sell those water filters. He never heard no so much in his life. But, you know, sometimes you hear something. I remember Rainbow Vacuum Cleaner Salesman showed up at my house one day. He was a member of my church, first church of pastor, felt sorry for the young man, just trying to be encouraging to him, Brother Joe. And you know what happened? I ended up buying that stupid Rainbow Vacuum Cleaner. And the reason I did, because I was like, wow, what an opportunity. I could own a vacuum cleaner like this. So I got that thing turned around. Man, if somebody sell you a Rainbow Vacuum Cleaner and convince you that you want it, I'm telling you what, you got somebody right there that's good in sales. Amen? And so they convinced me. And they're good vacuum cleaners. They're still good. It still works. Anyway, listen, I want you to understand that we don't want to miss opportunity. Don't want to miss an opportunity. Some of the craziest things that we've ever heard of in our life is people that miss opportunities. You realize M&M's, I've read this, I was looking some of these things up, that M&M's lost out to Reese's Pieces because Mars Candy Bar didn't see any business or any benefit to why M&M's should be featured on the movie E.T. Okay? Now, some of you are old enough to remember E.T., some of you don't know what I'm talking about, but a lot of you do. Reese's, remember, E.T. loved his Reese's, and once the peanut butter cup, or not peanut butter cup, Reese's candy. And because of that, man, the sales skyrocketed. Imagine what happened if M&M's, Mars Candy, had agreed with that. Let me tell you another big mistake of opportunity. ABC passed on the sitcom The Cosby Show. The NBC picked it up, and they made millions off of that. Actually, they wrote it to billions of dollars. Think about that. There was an opportunity there. You ever heard of the internet giant Yahoo? Right? You know what they did? Yahoo? You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I know. I just had to be funny. Yahoos and Yahoos. Anyway, Facebook, what is his name? Mark Zuckerberg. In 2006, he wanted to sell Facebook to Yahoo. Wanted to sell it for $1 billion. And then as they were negotiating and they had a handshake, they backed out and offered him $800 million instead. And he turned it down. And as he thought about it even more, guess what he did? He decided, you know, and they come back and said, we'll give you the $1 billion. He said no at that point. He didn't want it. He didn't want it for now. Imagine that. What a mistake they made because of indecision and opportunities there before them. And so they backed out away from it. You could go all through history and you could find people that missed out of windfalls and success, millions and billions of dollars, because they didn't seize the opportunities that were before them. Now, why didn't they seize those opportunities? Number one, because they didn't see it as an opportunity. They didn't see maybe the only thing they saw was the obstacles that's in the way. Now, I want to say to you tonight, if we're not careful as God's people, when God opens doors before us, instead of seeing it as an opportunity and as an obligation, the only thing we focus on is the opposition that might be in the way, the difficulties. And when those things happen in their life, let me just tell you something. We can miss out on the plan and the providence of God showing Himself mighty on our behalf. You see, Paul said there is a great door, and effectual is open unto me. Let me tell you, opportunities. Number one, there is the door. Three doors. There's the door of opportunity. Now think about that. It's an opportunity. The word effectual means energy. The word great is the word we get the prefix for mega. So really what you're saying, there is a mega energetic door open before me. You know what Paul's saying? There's a great, great opportunity before me right here in the city of Ephesus. Yes, the city that worshiped the goddess Diana. This city was also noted as a sanctuary city for criminals. They were lowlifes that lived in the city of Ephesus. They were a bunch of pagans that lived in the city of Ephesus. And you say, why in the world would God open up a door, a ministry that was a mega energetic opportunity to serve the Lord? I'll tell you why. Because that city was darkened by sin and darkened by a dead religion, amen. And the light that shines brightest is the light that's in the darkest place. And there was the opportunity, and when he let his light shine for the glory of God, there were those that were drawn. Let me say to you, it is a city, the pessimists would say this city is wicked, this city is awful, there's no way you could plant a church there, but the Apostle Paul, he looked at it differently. He said, this is a city that needs the Lord. You see, it all depends on perspective and how you look at things. He's very decisive. You see, let me just tell you, opportunities, they require some things out of us. When God opens a door before us, you got to make some decisions. Are you going to teeter-totter around, or are you actually going to follow the Lord? You see, God opened the door in a good direction. That's the way He wants you to go. And I've been, one time in my life, I had three churches call me at the same time. So all three of them were convinced the Lord was calling me to be their pastor at the same time. Somebody was wrong, amen. Somebody was wrong. And so, but you know what? I had to follow. And you can look there, and I understand, but God leads and God guides, but you need to be decisive. Let me tell you what God does in your life. When He opens the door, oftentimes He changes your plans. God changes what you want to do. God messes up your schedule. You have to change your lifestyle. Not only does there need to be a decisiveness, am I going to follow the Lord here, but what is the direction? Are you dedicated? Are you willing to sacrifice these things, whether your money, your comfort zone? That's what happens when opportunities arise, when God opens those doors. And there's many doors that's open in Scripture. Do you know that? That's how Paul described ministry. Look in Acts chapter number 14 tonight. Acts chapter 14. I do mean to go to Acts this time. Acts 14, verse 26. Paul said, writing here, now Luke wrote this, he said, and thence sailed to Antioch from whence they've been recommended. They went on a missionary journey, and they come back to Antioch, for they've been sent out by the church authority there at Antioch. And it says, where they've been recommended the grace of God for the work wherein they fulfilled. And when they were come and gathered the church together, they gathered the church at Antioch together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them. They said, here's how we'll start churches. People that saved, you wouldn't believe how the Lord worked. They got up and told him, the church gave audience. They gave a report. But notice this, how he'd opened the door of the faith, a door of faith to the Gentiles. That's what he heard. God opened up a door. They said, listen, what you done and what you sent us to, we was right. This was exactly God's leading. He opened up the door and we walk right through these doors. Man, that's amazing, is it not? Man, I want to tell you something. You say, what, how do you know where you ought to go? God opens up a door, He'll show you the door is open. Don't quit trying to kick open doors. I see churches trying to send missionaries sometimes to places. It looks like they're trying to kick a door open somewhere. God will open up those doors and show us as a church and show them. It's not that if you see it, it's evident. The door's open. I'm telling the door's open and one's closed, can't you? And so, listen, we're God's people, and so what you'll find not only there, you'll find that there was doors that were open. But you'll find in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, notice what was said there in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse number 12. The Bible in verse 12 says, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was open unto me of the Lord. Now, he said, when I got there, he said, bless God, I got out and shook the bushes. I made it happen. And listen, I'm all about God's people being evangelistic and God's people working and warning people. But I want to tell you, I'm so sick of people putting all what's going to be accomplished upon their own shoulders and upon their own responsibilities. I'm sick of these pastors talking about, I listen to them in their Bible conferences and independent, oh, but he's a great church builder. Oh, he built this and he built that. Let me just tell you a little secret. Jesus is the one that builds the church.
Amen.
You see, we're to be faithful what we're supposed to do. God's faithful what he's supposed to do. And we'll let the Lord add to the church daily. And so we find, and so often there's so much emphasis. I'm doing this. You'll find, when the doors open, he went through and did what he called him to do. And you'll find not only there, but as you continue in the Word of God, you'll find that in Colossians 4 and 3, turn there to the book of Colossians, chapter number 4, verse number 3. He says, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. I want you to understand that he wanted to pray that Christ would open a door. There'd be a door open. Revelation 3, you'll find that there was a door. He said, I've set before you an open door. God sets before the doors of opportunity. Now, I want you to understand about this. You think of all these people, whether it be Mars Candy missing out on E.T., whether it be an internet giant missing out on owning Facebook, whether it be any group you'll find that missed out on a business deal that cost them millions and millions of dollars because they didn't have the ability to be decisive, because they didn't see the opportunity. Many times God's people fail to see the opportunities, the doors that God opens before them because of fear. Man, it is a great door, the Bible says, an effectual door. Thank God for the doors that God opens in our life that we might just simply walk through them. A great door, an effectual, is open for us. Well, let me just move on today. I want you to see this. Secondly, there's the door of obligation. Now, I didn't mean to preach this long. I thought I'd just go through three points. Boom. I have a habit of doing that. Brother Joseph, both Brother Joseph, it gets easier to go longer as you get older. Okay, I don't know. I'm just warning you right now. And this saying here that we see the door of obligation. Look in Romans chapter number 1, verse 14. The Bible says, for I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise, to the unwise. No, he sees it as an opportunity. He felt as though it was an obligation. Now, you'll find that Paul wanted to do one thing, but he had to do another because he had to feel that obligation because God set before him an open door. And so what you'll find here is that Paul sees this door that's open made Paul feel like he is a debtor. Paul said, now listen, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So he says, listen, I want you to understand I owe a debt. I got an outstanding balance. I got an obligation to perform. You know what? He was serious about the Lord's work. He felt obligated to the Lord's work. And so I want you to understand to him, if he didn't do it, it wouldn't matter about choice. It wasn't about an opportunity like I can turn down or accept or let go. It was an obligation because he felt if God opened the door, this was God showing him direction in his life. So he felt as though that he was obligated to perform and to do what God wanted him to do. Now, I want you to understand, people all the time are obligating themselves to the temporal things of this world. And they think that somehow that's going to release them from the eternal things. People will obligate themselves, listen to me, to work. They'll obligate themselves to a craft. They'll obligate themselves to a pastime. They'll obligate themselves to a sports team. They'll obligate themselves, listen to me, for years paying for a boat or paying for a truck just so it looks good in their driveway. You know it's the truth. They'll sign on the dotted line and be obligated for this. They'll be obligated to a lifestyle. Think about this. If they don't want to obligate themselves to eternal things, I would to God that people would obligate themselves to the Lord's work and the Lord's house the same as they do the things of this world.
Amen.
You see, Paul, he did. He felt an obligation. He said, I'm a debtor. I owe it. I'm obligated. If you owe me money, guess what? You're obligated to pay me back. If I owe you money, guess what? I'm obligated to pay you back. Talked to a guy the other day about something they sent him, and he'd ordered, and it was broke, and he called him. They sent him a brand new one, and he turned the other one in, and he said, the other place gave me money back, and he said, now they want money back. I don't feel like I owe them. I said, yes, you do. You owe my money back. He said, well, they shouldn't have sent me something broke. That don't matter. They tried to rectify. They tried to fix it. Now you're trying to rip them off. You owe them. Right? I mean, it's pretty simple to me. It's not difficult to find out. And we should obligate ourselves to the eternal things which God opens before us. Let me tell you this, finally. You'll find in 1 Corinthians as well. Not only is there the door of opportunity, the door of obligation, but there is the door of opposition. The Bible says, for a great door and effectual, in verse number 9, is open unto me. But notice this, and there are many adversaries. Now, you'll study the Word of God and you'll find that He had adversaries in everything He did. He had His adversaries at Ephesus. You'll find in chapter 15, in verse 32, that Paul even wrote here, after the manner of men, I had fought with beasts at Ephesus. I don't know if he's speaking metaphoric or figuratively of some people that were troublemakers in Ephesus, or maybe he'd actually had to fight against animals. I don't know what happened. He says, but what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? He said, listen, he said, let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. He said, if I'm just going to die, I'm going to quit all this fighting and struggling. He said, there's oppositions out there. Here's what I want you to understand. When God opens a great door, and is effectual door that is open, you know what else comes along with that? The Bible says there are many adversaries. Listen to this. When God opens a door, there will always be opposition to that door being open. It ain't going to be easy. I've never seen anything that was worthy of doing that was easy to do, have you? I mean, it's just the way it is. It's not easy. And you see, we don't work without problems. I mean, you just read the book of Acts. They continued their work. There were times that Paul and Barnabas, they're ready to tear each other's throat out. You know that? They went different directions. You'll find there were times that even the apostles, they didn't get along with some things. And they confront each other. There were things. There were some people in communities that, guess what, stoned them. There's people out to kill them. There's people that didn't like them. Sometimes they were troublemakers that followed them around and heckled them. Life was not easy, but God opened a great door of opportunity and they went through it anyway. You'll find we don't work without opposition. That's just the truth. When the door of opportunity and obligation is there, there's always going to be opposition. It may be from within, it may be from without, it may be from within themselves. I mean, you'll find the 12 spies went into the land of Canaan. We look back on it and said, man, they should have possessed the land immediately. But guess what? 10 of them said, no, let's not do it. And 2 of them are saying, man, let's take possession of it immediately. God can whoop those giants. God can drive them out. That's no problem for God. You'll find the Nehemiah 6 Sanballat stood outside the walls. They built the wall. He said, come off the wall, Nehemiah, and talk to me. And he said, I ain't got time to talk to you. So I'm doing a great work. So don't look like much to me. The foxes run across and this thing's going to tumble down. He just kept at it. Amen. Even in spite of criticism, he didn't care. He just kept working. And you know what the opposition wants to do? Well, opposition is just there to stop us. Yes, God opens doors before us. But listen to me. If there's going to be doors, there'll be all kinds of excuses and reasons to stop and to quit and to cave in. And Satan will say, just remain comfortable. Just be satisfied. Don't make anybody upset. But you know what you do? Paul understood it clearly, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. There's going to be problems along the way, but you don't stop. You keep serving. You keep seeing. You see, God sets before us as a church. When we see them, do we just look at all the, well, that's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. I agree, there's a lot of things difficult, a lot of things hard. But God is the one that opens doors that no man can shut. And God is the one that gives us the victory. And I want to tell you, through victory, there's generally struggle. I play this basketball game. It's no fun. Just go out and just kill somebody. You know the games I enjoy? Poke looks at me, gets mad at me sometimes. We'll be playing, and we'll come back and beat him. I love when we beat Poke. I'll aggravate him. Y'all can't believe that. Because, see, and it's just fun. Don't do it often, but when we do, we beat him. I'm like, woo, Brian, I can tell you. And he's like, just a pickup game, Brother Grant. He's just saying that because we beat him. Amen. Right? And so, listen, I love to win. But it's a lot more fun when there's a struggle to it. Let me just tell you something. The things we get the most blessing out of is when we get the victory, even when there's opposition. The world stands before us. The devil stands before us. And God shows that He's still God and we triumph. I'm thankful for the promises of God. Father, thank You for the Word of God tonight. Thank You, Lord, that we can continue through Your Word. God, I'm thankful for the Bible. I'm thankful, God, that it is living. I'm thankful, God, that it is our guide. And God, I pray as we getting close to the end of this study that we say we're better servants, we're better followers of You. Not just so we can be spiritual know-it-alls, but God, that we might be able to live in this world in a more effective way. Your Word, I believe, holds life for us. Your Word is our guide. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, I'm thankful that it gives us light for this world, because this world is dark, this world is discouraging. Pray that You would use this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all sing. Stand and sing.